God. I'm having flashbacks of Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman in that cage. And we ended up with pretty much a no contest. Come on. Seriously? I thought this pay-per-view, from beginning to about 5 minutes before the end, was pretty decent. Then we get that ending. I don't know if they were trying to, you know, like, what do you get when you cross, like, New Jack and The Fiend? Like, the demon's music hits and the smoke, so they could cover up the special effect of the ring just... I can't even defend that. That's like you're going on a date. I don't care if you like M&Ms with or without peanuts. You go on a date. Me, I'm a heterosexual, so I'll compare it like that. You know, you think about it all day long. You go home. You take a shower. You shave. You take the person out to dinner. You buy flowers. And you have nice conversation all night long. You go back to your apartment, your house, a hotel, and nice soft music. The lights go out. And now you're starting to get into it. And that's Extreme Rules. Throughout the whole night, you're getting into it. A little foreplay, a little action. And right before it's time to, you know, That was awful. That was fucking awful. Finn Balor. The ring, it just explodes. I thought it was dumb. I did get a kick out of Roman Reigns, though. Putting on the mask when he goes around the fans. Now, if anybody remembers that time that I did a show in Spanish Harlem, and Mr. Big... If you somehow see this, and I know some of you out there talk to Mr. Big, please, I will pay you for that footage. We did an indie show in Spanish Harlem in like 2000 and, I don't know, 6 or 7. And I managed Homicide and Reefer. And they took on Sandman and someone else. I can't remember who the other person was. And because it was Spanish Harlem, I went to the corner store and bought Lysol. And then I walked around ringside by the crowd. I just sprayed the whole area with Lysol because there ain't no way that I'm not going to sanitize myself being around people of Spanish Harlem. And the best part about it was after the show was over, everybody in the crowd, oh, great show, good job. I hope you're not mad. I hope you didn't take anything personal. Nah, it's just the show. Loved it. Loved it. So anyway... Good evening, everybody. This is your WWE. Now, that's extreme. That's extreme. Not the shit that we saw on TV tonight. Yeah, I made a little joke earlier today. For all of you out there that were like, where's all the extreme matches? Extreme Rules. Where's all the no DQs, TLC, Singapore Canes, blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's Nick Khan's fault. Maybe Nick Khan saw, what do we have tonight? Extreme Rules, which means we get extreme amounts of rules. How do you do that intro before the pay-per-view starts? Becky Lynch swinging the Singapore cane. You know, anything goes for one night only. Anything goes. If... Please. I'm trying so hard not to curse tonight. Ah, man. I honestly thought the pay-per-view was very good up until those final 5 minutes. I mean, at least get Brock Lesnar to come out there. Take the focus off the demon. Take the focus off. Oh, he hurt his leg. Why didn't the music play again? He would have popped right up. Man, I don't know. The only thing good about tonight is we won't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I thank you very much for stopping by tonight for a little while to hang out and talk a little Extreme Rules. Big shout out to everyone, whether you're on Twitch or Facebook or Twitter, and I'm looking, wow, big crowd tonight on Twitter. Not everybody wants to chat. They just want to sit back, relax, and hear us give you straight up review of WWE Extreme Rules. Now, last night, we destroyed Goldberg. Unfortunately, the Fiend died in the process, but he came back to life. He was reincarnated, as you could see. Not so much for Lily tonight. Oh, Charlotte. You ever hear that saying? You win and you also get the girl? Not for nothing. Look at that picture. And for my audio only, I'm sorry. It's a picture of Charlotte holding up the championship and holding up the torn apart Lily. She tore that ass apart tonight. Tell me that in this photo, that doesn't look like Michelle McCool. I don't know. For some reason, to me, that kind of looks like Michelle McCool tonight. I don't know why. But Charlotte beating Alexa Bliss. Hey, we got every match correct tonight. We predicted everything. I don't know what the match time was of Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor. Now, look, let me say this before anybody gets mad at me. It was a very predictable pay-per-view. It was very predictable. Now, as far as Bianca Belair goes, yeah, it was a DQ technically because Sasha Banks returned. And if you heard closely, I'll see you two on Friday. So something is going down on Friday right before the draft. And something tells me they may ink a championship match, maybe a three-way, maybe something. And because it was announced before the draft takes place, they have to honor it. Don't know. But as of right now, Becky Lynch is still the champion. Sasha Banks could end up pinning Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair could end up pinning Sasha Banks. And Becky loses the title. Keep that thought in your mind. Now look, something I want to make mention that I think is very important, and it's not about the pay-per-view tonight, but I know this will affect a boatload of you out there, including yours truly. And I'm just letting you know now because tomorrow it'll be a huge story floating around online. If any of you out there that have YouTube TV as your streaming, cable alternative instead of Spectrum or Time Warner, that same thing, Verizon Fios. September 30th, which is only 4 days away, YouTube TV's agreement with NBC Universal is up. And as of right now, they do not have a new agreement. And if they do not sign a new agreement by September 30th, all the channels that are available on YouTube TV from NBC Universal will not be on. The USA Network is one of them. So just letting you all know, you'll probably see everybody and their mother cut and paste it tomorrow because, they'll see someone else say, oh, I got to report it exclusive. So you could go on YouTube TV's website and see. Now, what they're trying to do is now, I did write down all the cable channels it affects. It is USA Network, Bravo, E, NBC, SN, NBC, Oxygen, MSNBC, the Golf Channel, CNBC, CNBC World, and a few others. But just take note of that because if they don't ink a new deal by next week, now YouTube TV said that they are going to reduce their price by $10, but still, if you can't watch USA Network on YouTube TV, you might need to make alternative, viewing. Now, speaking of money, I wasn't trying to be a jerk tonight about it, but I know a lot of people out there were complaining about Paramount splicing in commercials throughout the pay-per-view. And I saw people with blue check marks, and it's funny. It's funny when you see people complaining that make six figures. You know that they're making big time cash. We got a nice following here, but I spread, the viewing and listening options. Extreme Phoenix Bladder. Blader. Did I say bladder? Bladder P. Extreme Phoenix Blader. Welcome to the family. Much love. But I like these people that you know make crazy cash, but are trying to be cheapskates when it comes to Paramount TV. Now, for all of you out there that saw people complaining tonight that, oh my God, they're putting commercials all at random and they put a commercial in right when Alexa Bliss came out for her match. Well, those are inserted at certain times throughout the night. And it's not strategically, oh, let's, you know, play with everybody's head and while Alexa Bliss is walking to the ring, we'll throw a commercial in there. That's not how it works. But as you saw on my Twitter account, I had no commercials. I had no interruptions because everybody who was complaining tonight either have the free version of Paramount or they have the $4.99 version with commercials. So if you were very upset about commercials tonight, the answer, 999. Get the Paramount Premium Plus for $9.99 and there goes your commercials. I saw people whining tonight. And I'm like, you cheap mother, spend the $9.99. Look how much you get for $10. It ain't just WWE. Peacock. Peacock. All right. We had something else happen tonight, and I know this is going to be an epic fail. This is going to be an epic fail because I didn't rehearse it. I didn't plan it. I just, while I was doing the show tonight, it was a little bit of an audio glitch, if anybody tuned in. And right before Carmella versus Liv Morgan had their match, Carmella was in the ring. Liv Morgan was in the ring. Carmella grabbed the mic, and the fans erupted in boos. Carmella bragged that her face is the greatest asset, which separates her hair from people like Morgan. Carmella said that she is hot and Morgan is not.
No, no, no.
That was me in Spanish. We had Spanish commentary and English commentary going at the same time. All right, for people out there that think that I'm just trolling them, one more time. Carmella grabbed the mic and the fans erupted in boos. Carmella bragged that her pretty face is the greatest asset, which celebrates her from people like Morgan. Carmella added that she's hot and Morgan is not.
No, no, no.
That was funny, man. Shabudin 619. Shabudin 619. Welcome to the family. Yeah, we had English and Spanish comedy. If you really wanted to get tripped, if you were drinking, or maybe you live in a certain area where weed is legal, and maybe you were smoking a little bit, not only do you listen to the English and Spanish commentary at the same time, you turn on the subtitles, and if you actually have that with the sign language, listen to the English and Spanish commentary at the same time, look at the subtitles, and see this. Your head's going to explode. Like, and then they fixed it. And then when it came back, we got the French commentators. That was funny. Look, mistakes happen. Look at this. Hey, everybody makes mistakes. Even Corey Graves made a mistake tonight. Right after Bianca Belair and I think it was Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. I could swear that Corey Graves said something like, you know, oh, we're going to have a women's title match. Or something. I don't know. He screwed up once tonight. It happens. Didn't we get a screw up in the six-man tag with AJ Styles, Omos, and Bobby Lashley versus The New Day? Wasn't AJ Styles the legal man? I think AJ Styles was the legal man. Maybe I missed something, but I could swear that he did not tag in Bobby Lashley, but Bobby Lashley got pinned. But tomorrow night on Raw at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Big E defend the WWE Championship against Bobby Lashley. They are obviously going to get this match in at least once. You know, if you remember our draft predictions from a week and a half ago, I think Bobby Lashley goes to SmackDown. Now, MVP right now is really recuperating from some arthroscopic knee surgery. Nothing major, but, you know, to basically allow him to have a little bit more in the ring and, you know, be less pain. So, by the way, if to everybody last night with the Goldberg stuff. You know, he is in the garbage pail. Angela Walker, welcome, Angela. That was funny yesterday. Some people got a good laugh out of that. Yeah, we blew up Bill Goldberg yesterday. So anyway, yeah, tonight, as I said a little while ago, Charlotte beats Alexa Bliss and then tears up the doll. And then we got Alexa Bliss crying. Oh, my God, look what you did. Look what you did to Lily. Look at that. Oh, my God. And she's crying up a storm. And we have grown-ass men screaming out, we love Lily. Lily, we love you. We love you. How come you never bought me, cheap bastard? Maybe this is no more voodoo. No more voodoo. I'm not going to tear her apart. It looks cool in the background. We'll leave it alone. So, Twix, you complain about everything. If AEW is so better, go watch it. Nobody forces anybody to watch anything. Nobody forces to follow Meltzer. Nobody forces to follow Brian Alvarez. Nobody forces to follow me or anybody else. People watch because they want a reason to complain about it. My God, I don't like country music. I've said this so many times in the past, none against country music. I don't like it. When was the last time you heard me talk about, I don't know, the Southern Girls? Hey, did you see that music video? You know what? It's Monday night. Guess what? I'm not going to watch country music television. So if you don't like it, why tune in? Why tune in? Seriously. Dream 101, I cannot help you with your math homework tonight. I want to get this recap done and go to bed, Ibai. Tomorrow night, right after Raw, Mish and I will be here. We will discuss Raw. We'll discuss a few tidbits in news. We'll take live calls tomorrow. So if you have anything on your mind you want to get off your chest. By the way, shout out to Brad Shepard. Hey, touche. If I call him a piece of shit, he could crack a joke about me, you know. But I thought it was funny. Yesterday he was talking about my tits. These tits, you know. Yeah, these tits. He's like, oh, you got big tits. Well, that's what happens when you wear a size 3X shirt yesterday because you're worried about Goldberg, you know, shooting a whole bunch of water in your face. I'm a size XL. I'm not going to rip my original ECW tag off to prove it. But that's what happens when you wear a shirt three times too much. But hey, touche, touche. Nothing personal. I smell shit again. Anyway, let's talk about this pay-per-view. Let's fill in the blanks. WWE Extreme Rules. Carmella and Liv Morgan. Pre-show tonight. They moved it from the pay-per-view to the pre-show. No problems with that. Also, before the pay-per-view started, we had a little backstage altercation. Sarah Schreiber was trying to interview the New Day. AJ Styles and Omos showed up. They started talking trash. The New Day show up. We get a brawl. Bobby Lashley jumps in. So it sets up a six-man tag for the pay-per-view. So match added tonight. Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles and Omos versus the New Day. And again, I don't get these people. It opens up the pay-per-view tonight. It's a fun match. It was awesome. The crowd loved it. And because one of the participants in the match is a heavyweight champion, it's like sacrilegious. But they still got like pre-cum on their bodies from when Bryan Danielson took on Kenny Omega. Yes, it was non-title, you know, but it's still, oh, come on. Shit, what do these people think? It's 1989? We do get big matches to open up shows. You can't use the term curtain jerker anymore. You can't. A lot of these wrestlers enjoy the fact that they're the first show on the card. Oh, I could shower early. I could relax. I could chill. And as soon as, you know, the event's over, I can go to my hotel room or go home. You know, think about that. So Liv Morgan takes on Carmella. We had that audio glitch. And honestly, I think these... Not for nothing. I don't speak Spanish. I don't understand Spanish all that much. I know what chochawina, you know, means and stuff. But those Spanish announce team, they just sound like they have so much more fun. I mean, Carmella's cracking jokes, and one of them's going, ha, 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 ha. They sound like they have so much more fun, man. And then Liv Morgan beats Carmella, and nice little match between the two. Liv Morgan, I tell you, man, I don't want to compare Liv Morgan to Ruby Soho. I mean, I know a lot of people have gotten behind Ruby Soho because of the release and because they feel like she was being misused in WWE. But I truthfully believe that right now, Liv Morgan may be a little bit more popular than Ruby Soho. And guess what? I guarantee you they are both ecstatic for each other. It was a decent match. It was a decent match. Cerebral says, DTS Chido. Chido, chido, cool, cool. Speaking of cool, like Razor Ramon, cool. Did you see tonight who did the fallaway slam? I think it was Bianca Belair. She did the fallaway slam. And Michael Cole is like, oh, JBL, who we saw earlier, made the fallaway slam famous. Hey, Cole. I think someone else made it a little more famous before JBL ever did. I think you all agree on that. But Liv Morgan wins. Crowd is big time behind Liv Morgan. And look, I'm straight up with everybody here. I'm totally honest. It gets my mouth in trouble sometimes. And I am a fan of Liv Morgan. I don't know how far this sweetheart relationship between the WWE Universe and Liv Morgan goes as far as Liv Morgan with a championship opportunity. Because Liv Morgan, and please hear me out when I say this, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that Liv Morgan is not deserving of a championship. I actually believe that she definitely should have a championship. And the fans are behind her. It's organic. It's not forced. She has worked her ass off. People have taken notice. I remember back in the day, we would always compare her with Mandy Rose. Like, which one do we see progressing? And I remember people always saying, oh, it seems like Liv Morgan, you know, she really started to turn the corner. But in WWE's eyes, and it's something that I can't really explain, but you can sense, you know, if you really follow, you can many times sense when someone is really getting a push or someone's really getting elevated because WWE feels like they should go to the next step. I don't know if that's the case right now with Liv Morgan. You see Bianca and Sasha and Carmella. Well, not even Carmella, but if you want to go Bianca and Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and then you got Charlotte, and Asuka should be back very shortly. I mean, you're talking five women right there, and then you got Rhea Ripley. I mean, there's a lot of names that she would have to leapfrog to get to the promised land. And with WWE splitting those top names across two brands, whew, that's going to be, I personally think, and I know some of you may agree, and I think a lot of you will disagree. I think Liv Morgan needs to align herself with another tag team partner, because I think Liv Morgan is much more likely to get a tag team championship run than to get a longtime singles run. Look at Nikki Ash. All right, she's tag team champions right now. Well, it's the same scenario. When Nikki Ash started getting pushed as the superhero, now, I personally think Nikki Ash has turned the corner with the character in a positive way. In a positive way, no question. But when she was champion, we brought it up every single week that she would lose. Or if she won, there was some circumstance always surrounding it. You know, the only time I think she won that match clean wasn't it against Nia? And they played Nia's music anyway, even though she got the win. So I think Liv Morgan, I think tag team championship run is more likely, in my opinion. Ken terminated by DQ. Shout out to Austin Nance. Austin answers the extreme mod. Yeah, and I think, look, I don't want to get Austin offended, but we're going to have to give the powers to someone also, because obviously Austin has a heavy plate sometimes. The haters show up. You know, as I wrote earlier, you know, here we engage without the rage. We opine without the wine. And we talk news. We have discussions without the hate and clickbait. I know they're little catchphrases, but it's true over here. And a lot of people just can't stand that. But so I will be offering the powers to someone else soon. We'll keep Austin as well. Not taking it away from Austin. He's done a pretty good job. Speaking of pretty good jobs, I want to give a shout out to the family. And by the way, I have the Q&A uploaded. It's all online. I have it scheduled to release tomorrow afternoon. I was going to release it earlier today, but with everything going on with the predictions contest, not only here and on Patreon and preparing for the show and getting stuff, I said, okay, I'll do a Monday afternoon release. So you'll see that release tomorrow automatically. But shout out to these very special people. I will shout out our channel members later on. But shout out to these great people. And we'll have the winner of the predictions contest announced by tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be that difficult. I think in many cases it's going to come down to the tiebreaker tonight. But so Liv Morgan gets the win. Very deserving. And she impressed. She impressed. You know, it's one thing to get a lot of fan support. And it's also another to start backing it up in the ring. I just don't know how she ends up in a storyline feud with Becky or Bianca or Sasha or Bayley or Charlotte or Rhea. I think we got to get a tag team partner for her. I know some people don't like that, but I think that's her probably her easiest route to a championship right now. Unfortunately, we don't have an intercontinental championship for women. It's the truth. Oh, you know what would help? Of course it would help. If I did this. There we go. All right. We had the New Day defeating Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. What a fun opener to the actual pay-per-view. Crowd loved it. I thought it was excellent. I tell you, you know, the draft is this coming Friday. And, you know, my original predictions, I went with Bobby Lashley going to SmackDown. Obviously, tomorrow, Bobby Lashley is going to take on Big E to open Raw. Now, if Bobby Lashley happens to stay on Raw, are we possibly going to get a little feud between AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley? Or are we going to possibly get a feud between AJ Styles and Big E? I don't know which one might be the more likely scenario. But man, tonight, they seem to really be toying with that idea of AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley going at it in the near future. In fact, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Styles gets involved in that opening title match. Does that lead? Are we going to get another cluster screw-up finish tomorrow where AJ causes the DQ? And then we get Adam Pearce at Sonya Deville. No, 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 no. That's not how this is going to end tonight. The main event will be AJ Styles versus Bobby Lashley versus Big E. I would not be surprised if that's what we end up getting tomorrow night. Will not be surprised. But tonight, Xander wants to see AJ Styles versus Finn Balor again. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. It's got to make sense, though. And AJ and Omos are still a tag team. My problem is, where do you go right now with Finn Balor? I don't remember if I chose Finn Balor to go to Raw. I think I might have. I don't have it in front of me, the predictions from the draft. But I think I said Finn Balor to Raw because I don't know where you go from here with Finn Balor. I really don't. I mean, the NXT stuff ran its course. He seems to be the one that alternates brands. And you know what? Him versus Riddle would be awesome. Him versus AJ would be awesome. Hell, I wouldn't mind him versus Kofi, him versus Xavier Woods, him versus Big E. And we have a lot, and we haven't even talked about anybody who may be moving to Raw. Also, I think Cesaro is going to be going to Raw. Don't know if we're going to see any tag team split up. I know a lot of people are very nervous about the Street Profits splitting up. But as far as fantasy matches, let's let this draft happen. Then we can figure out exactly what we're looking at as far as matches go. But this opening match tonight, phenomenal. Phenomenal. But basically what we started happening towards the end of the match is Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles having a little bit of a dynamic. AJ Styles almost got pinned. You had the New Day hit the powerbomb double footstop combo. Bobby Lashley breaks it up. Then later on, we had Lashley set up for the Hurt Lock. AJ Styles tags himself in, which kind of pissed off Bobby Lashley. And then what ends up happening at the end of the match, Bobby Lashley accidentally hits the spear on AJ Styles, Big E with the big ending, and the New Day wins. So we had numerous interactions with AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley. I don't know. I mean, because really they're using AJ Styles as a heel with Omos. Oh, yes, Arian, I think Drew McIntyre is definitely destined to SmackDown. In fact, I think that was my strong pick. If you remember the contest that we're running, remember the strong pick? I think my strong pick was Drew McIntyre to SmackDown. I think Drew is SmackDown bound. But can I just throw this out there now, just randomly? Because I'm curious what your reaction is. And post it in the chat room now, post it in the comment section later. Is it just me? Was Jeff Hardy the most over guy tonight? I mean, even when Jeff Hardy was going at it with Damian Priest was getting booed out of the building. But you see, I don't know if this was pre-planned or they just, based on the crowd reaction, Jeff Hardy being the veteran, knew exactly what to do. And I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but right after that match was over, Jeff Hardy and Damian Priest exchange a hug in a ring, seal of approval, crowd ate it up. Any animosity towards Damian Priest went right out the window. Jeff Hardy was so freaking over tonight. And it's not a nostalgia over. Jeff Hardy can still go. And I tell you, you know, it's a tough thing to say these days, but you know, back when I was a very young wrestling fan, you would have certain wrestlers that were so popular, they didn't need a championship title. The first person that comes to mind for me was Jimmy Snuka. Jimmy Snuka in the early 80s, 83, 84, mostly 83, I would say. The guy was so freaking popular, they just didn't put a championship on him, didn't need one. In a lot of ways, that also happened with Piper. Piper ultimately got a championship, got the Intercontinental Championship. But, you know, the thing with Jeff Hardy is, I think fans would still love Jeff Hardy to be a champion right now. And I know what a lot of people are going to say, well, his time is coming on. Now you got to have some of the younger guys have title runs. And yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm a little bit annoyed how angry people got. And you know what? I'm not criticizing them. I am and I'm not. When they criticized Jeff Hardy chasing for the 24/7 championship, okay? Excuse me for a minute. I said that night, it's one night. He's in the back. He's doing nothing. Hey, Jeff, you want to run after the 24/7 title for one night? Yeah, sure. It seems like fun. And people lost their shit online. Now, the 24/7 title is nothing. It's a comedy title. But you know what? I'd rather see Jeff Hardy with the 24/7 title than Reginald. And who knows? Maybe Jeff Hardy could have some fun matches with that championship. But I don't know how he breaks through. There's no way he's getting an Intercontinental Championship run right now or a U.S. title run. He's certainly not going to hit a heavyweight title run. But man, talk about a guy that is still crazy ass over. Wow. That was pretty cool tonight. That was pretty cool. But the opening match, the New Day get the win, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night, because Bobby Lashley later on in the night cut a promo, called Big E a chicken shit, a coward, for winning the title the way he did, and he wants his rematch, and he challenged Big E, don't have New Day around, just me and you. And then Big E eventually accepted the challenge. So tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, they're going to have that championship match. And again, I think the fact that the New Day will not be out there tells me I think AJ Styles is going to interfere. I really think that may end up happening. So the New Day get the win. Becky Lynch, next, they showed her in the back getting ready for her match. And something that I noticed tonight audibly. Hang on a second. All right, change on me. Why aren't you changing on me? This is not good. Hold on. I always, let's see. It's not working on me. Refresh. Oh, that's why. Well, that's not good. Let's just scroll through these. All right, here, we should get Liv Morgan next. Hold on. I'm just fixing something here. Okay, there's your Liv Morgan. All right, now it works. All right, now we can move. There we go. Stop. Remember the John Cena chants from yesteryear? Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. And what do we always say back then? It sounded like the kids and the women cheered for Cena, and it was the men that said Cena sucks. If you listen to those chants, very high-pitched, let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Tonight it was the opposite with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was getting a decent pop from the crowd tonight. And you know what? Props to Cleveland, Ohio. They were energetic, loud and proud, as I always say. They were into this pay-per-view all night long. I think just the ending of the main event probably poo-pooed a lot of people, but they were into it all night long. But, man, I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead for a second, but I got to throw this out. Since we were just talking about Jeff Hardy. You go back and listen to the part where they were chanting for Bianca, and then they were chanting for Becky. Let's go, Becky. Let's go. Bianca. Let's go, Becky. Bianca. Let's go, Becky. Something like that. If you listen to it closely, it seemed like the women and the kids were chanting loud for Becky Lynch, and the men were chanting loud for Bianca Belair. Now, I know what some people are going to say, that might be by default, but if you listen to it closely, that real deep sound, the voice, they were going majority for Bianca Belair. And I got a lot to say about that match in a little bit. But first, let's talk about the Usos versus the Street Profits. Now, early on in the match, Michael Cole selling that Montez Ford was less than 100%, which kind of gave you a little bit of a hint of what the outcome was going to be tonight. The crowd chanting, we want tables. I understand you wanted Roman Reigns and Finn Balor to stand out more with the extracurricular activities, but that crowd would have eaten up the Usos versus the Street Profits in a tables match. You know, I don't know why they wouldn't do it. The crowd was wanting it. And I know, you know, sometimes you don't give them what you want, and then you finally give it to them, and it feels like it's a lot more than what you're actually giving to them because they've been wanting it for so long. But this was a match where the crowd really wanted it, and it was a fun match. Montez Ford, again, with a crazy-ass move, does a swanton over the corner post, outside the ring, onto the Usos. But unfortunately, since Montez Ford is less than 100%, he gets the super kick to the ribs. Double Uso splash onto Montez Ford. 1, 2, 3. And the Usos retain their championships. excellent match. I think it could have gone longer. Angelo Dawkins. I mean, I know Montez Ford is the one that everybody oohs and ahs over, and deservingly so. But Angelo Dawkins tonight, you know, I truthfully feel tonight he showed a lot of people out there like, hey, don't forget about me. Montez Ford might do all these crazy-ass spots, but I'm pretty damn good as well, and he really is. And I hope they don't split them up. Because tonight, if you took a shot every time they were pushing for the draft and teasing that somebody was going to split up, you'd be drunk right now. Anonymous. Ooh. Anonymous. I get a little nervous. Josh Tribito. Welcome, my friend. He is now a member of the family. Much love. I think it'll pop up. I see anonymous people sign up. No offense, but I just get like a little like, Austin, get your finger ready. But this match, I think, could have gone a little bit longer. The crowd was into it. We had loud, this is awesome chants, especially when Montez Ford did that dive outside the ring, and then he went back in the ring and hit the frog splash just for a two. And yes, he didn't pin right away. Shades of like what RVD used to do. RVD would hit this frog splash and then he would hold his ribs for a couple of seconds and then he'd get a two count. So a little reminiscent of that tonight. Fun match, excellent match, but the Usos retain. And I think most people out there felt with the bloodline right now, no reason to take titles off of anybody. I know a lot of people still think that the New Day versus the Bloodline should have been a Survivor Series match, but it makes no sense. When the New Day, you know, Kofi and Xavier don't have tag team titles right now. And, you know, anything could happen with the draft. But a lot of people are very, very concerned about WWE considering splitting up the Street Profits. My gut feeling is WWE does not split them up. Early on in the New Day's run, we used to think that they were going to split them up. And then they would do interviews like, we'll never split up. I mean, there was always talk Big E would branch out and become a champion. But just like the Four Horsemen, he could be a champion and still be part of New Day. I think the Street Profits are looked at more like the Usos in a New Day. Not on that level, but a tag team that really, honestly, there's no reason to split them up right now. There's none. You know, Heavy Machinery is a little bit different. A lot lower on the food chain. And Tucker, with all due respect, you know, as soon as they split him up, you know, no matter how many times he tried to tweet the world, like, you know, oh, you'll see. Yeah, you will. You'll see. You know, everyone will see that, you know, I'm the... I think he was just trying to psych himself up. But, you know, and just look at it like this. He's in such high demand. I haven't seen any promotion pick him up. You know, so I feel bad for the guy, but I don't see the Street Profits in that jeopardy. But crazier things have happened. Happy anniversary, Nero Faye. 5 months. He is a member of the family. Very, very cool. Very cool. Next. Let me tell you all something. You know, believe me when I tell you, forget about the ending of tonight's pay-per-view. We always, at the end, we give our rating of the pay-per-view, and then they say most favorite, most liked match, most favorite, least favorite. I got to be totally honest with you. I haven't thought about what's my least favorite or most favorite match yet. When I'm done with the review, I'll give you a spur of the moment choice. But as of right now, I cannot say that Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss was my least favorite match tonight. I can't say that. Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte was a hell of a lot better than I expected it to be. I mean, yes, Charlotte miscues was a lot of what led to Alexa Bliss's offense. Charlotte goes for the moonsault. Alexa Bliss gets her legs up. And then Alexa Bliss hits the Canadian Destroyer. All right, so there was moments like that all throughout the match. It was more of Alexa Bliss capitalizing on Charlotte's miscues. That's what the story should be. That's what it should be. I mean, Alexa Bliss, honestly, the last match she had, as far as pay-per-view goes, was SummerSlam against Eva Marie. So was this Alexa Bliss's biggest challenge so far to date? I mean, she's had title runs before, but this might have been arguably her most important match to date, because the whole, you know, playground stuff, you know, it's, look, I got a liking to the Lily doll and everything. It just looks like a cool thing. I hated the voodoo stuff. If you remember, and I'm not trying to brag or take credit because a lot of you out there said it as well, we knew that as soon as Thunderdome ended, as was a lot of the voodoo shit that they were doing with Alexa Bliss, because they were pre-recording all this special effects stuff, whether it's Randy Orton or things come falling down on Shayna Baszler and shit like that. And you knew once Thunderdome was done and they were going to be in front of live fans, it was going to be really, really, really hard, you know, to get anybody, you know, to buy a lot of that voodoo stuff. Hell, when they did the Lily blinking on the Titantron, you know, everybody looked at the Titantron because you got this big Lily head on the screen and the thing blinks. And you didn't have anybody in the crowd say, no, I was looking at the turnbuckle and she didn't blink. No shit, it's a freaking doll. But you knew at some point some of this was going to come to an end. Anonymous, best match, U.S. title, worst match, Charlotte. Okay, if that's, yeah, if that's how you feel, absolutely. I mean, there's no wrong answers. There's no wrong answers. But I tell you, at the end of the show, I might end up saying that about these two, but I got to be straight up. I mean, it would be wrong for me to say that that match sucked. You knew you weren't going to get a 4-star match. You knew you weren't going to get even a 3.5-star match. You get what you get. But this Alexa Bliss character, it's reached the turning point. I mean, everybody and their mother has been saying for a while, you know, the playground stuff has just run its course. She's very lucky. She's very lucky. And we've talked about this before. Alexa Bliss is very lucky that the We Want Wyatt chants have calmed down. And it's calmed down because, you know, people see that, you know, Alexa Bliss was not out to hurt Bray Wyatt. The Fiend got released, and there's that mutual support. And I think people saw beyond that, and they also felt, look, Alexa Bliss is a popular wrestler in WWE, even if a lot of people feel she doesn't wrestle all that great. But you look over the years in wrestling, not everybody has great matches. But I think fans just realize, like, hey, you know, yeah, we could give heat to WWE. We could get pissed off at Vince. We could get pissed off at Bruce Prichard. We could get pissed off at a lot of people in that company. But it would be wrong to take out Bray Wyatt being released out on Alexa Bliss. And it's one thing. Look, me, I would love to see The Fiend back. A lot of people are thinking that in Rochester for AEW, Bray Wyatt could be making his return and maybe is the leader of the Dark Order. Zandalian, welcome to the family, my friend. Much love. You can't see my hands right now, but welcome to the family. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the family. Hey. But so I'm glad that the fans have lightened up on Alexa Bliss. It wasn't her fault. It's not that WWE looked at Alexa Bliss and said, oh, she does the playground better than Bray does the funhouse. Bullshit. Bullshit. The amount of merchandise that Bray Wyatt sold on his own was freaking incredible. And I've been saying it for a long time now. I was running contest on Patreon when I used to have prize walls. And towards the very last year and a half that I was doing prizes, I can honestly say more than half of the prizes, everybody would choose Bray Wyatt stuff. I got these Bray Wyatt Focos. I already gave away 5. And still people say to me, hey, man, I can't buy it online. You know, do you have any more? Give some away, this to that. That's why when the head broke yesterday, I was like, oh, fuck. But then I was like, ah, we got more. But Alexa Bliss did a great job tonight. Did a great job. Charlotte gets the win, though. I don't think it should have gone any other way. But, you know, Charlotte, once again, after the match is over, she tears Lily apart. Now, it would have been funny if WWE would have done a little special effects with the laugh. Now, unfortunately, I don't have equipment where I could distort the laugh right now, but they should have put this over the loudspeaker. And they should have, like, manipulated the sound. Like, that would have been... No, nah, that would have sucked. Let's be honest. If they would have been like... Or if it would have screamed... Ah! You know... No. That would suck. Forget it. Hey, scratch. Ignore I said that. Yeah, Lily die and laugh. Come on. It would be like, you know, actually, it would have been great if Charlotte laughed. She should have done the laugh. But yeah, I agree, Austin. It would have been corny. Forget I said that. That was just spur of the moment brainstorming, and yeah, that would have sucked. I noticed this looks neon. Doesn't it look neon? This is my original shirt. I got this shirt about, what, 25 years? This is from, like, 1996? No, I think 1995, 96. So, Charlotte gets the win. After the match is over, she tears apart Lily. And, my God, we could have had another match for the amount of time that Alexa Bliss and, you know, look, when you're acting, I never went to acting school, but I've talked to people when I used to try to do the managing stuff in wrestling, and some people that were into, like, acting, they would give me little pointers and stuff like that. Luckily, I've never needed to cry, but what people have said is that when you need to do a crying scene and it's live, a lot of people will tell you to think of a loved one or a pet that has passed that you are very, very close to. And believe me when I tell you, I'm not going to do it now because I'm going to force myself not to think about it. But there's been many times on these shows, more on the Q&A stuff, where I'll talk about my dog and I'll get extremely choked up. So Alexa Bliss tonight, probably, you know, trying to think about, look, we're not going to go there with her pet, but, you know, would not surprise me if she had her pig that unfortunately had passed recently, you know, passed through her thoughts. And that just emphasizes, you know, the tears even more. And, you know, she was in the ring, very, very upset, very, very distraught, goes up the rampway, starts screaming. Now, remember, WWE's coming out with a Charlie doll in November. Could Charlie possibly be Alexa Bliss's new doll and not Charlotte's? Because I have somebody that works within WWE that's sending me a bunch of Charlie dolls once they're made. They're not made yet. Somebody's going to send me a bunch. Like, yeah, give some away on your shows. Keep one for yourself and this and that. So when I get it, you know, we'll see how they are. But now I'm starting to think, like, all right, these aren't coming out until November. We haven't even hit October yet. So by November, if Charlotte has gone on to other people and Alexa Bliss is no longer doing this thing, then what's the purpose of the Charlie doll to come out? You know what I mean? You have to have a little bit of momentum to try to sell a lot of these freaking dolls. So now I'm starting to wonder, oh God, oh man, what if WWE decides to do some crap where, I don't have any, you know what? I don't have the ink. I don't have the ink, so I won't stain it. But now I'm starting to get little ideas. Do you think there's a possibility that Alexa Bliss starts coming out with Charlie? Because they already have at least one doll made up of Charlie. I know she ripped the head off and all that, but what if she comes out with a Charlie doll and starts doing this? And then we get some hokey, stupid shit where Alexa Bliss is in the back, Charlotte's in the ring, and Charlotte like this. Oh, my God. Please, WWE, please do not turn Charlie into a voodoo doll. Because I could picture in the back, Charlotte's in the ring, and Alexa Bliss goes like this. And Charlotte's like, we're going to get another Damian Sandow out there. Oh, God, no, please. Please, no. No, 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 no. John Blaze says that would be dimes. That would be dimes. Well, we'll see. Just thought of it. I don't know if I want to see that. But like I said, I give Alexa Bliss credit. She actually had a decent match tonight. She didn't. The match was not that bad. And I'm just being honest. This match, a lot of fun. The outcome was expected. Damian Priest, absolutely zero reason to take the title off of him right now. Damian Priest is on momentum. And, you know, WrestleMania was quite a while back. It's just that they had him so embedded with The Miz and Morrison for so long that, you know, it's been so many months, and now he's finally getting an opportunity to break out. But tonight, man, now Sheamus broke the nose again and was wearing the mask again. He did the Alabama Slam during the match, and the mask popped off. So there was a little bit of concern. If you notice, they were, you know, give credit to Damian Priest and Jeff Hardy when it comes to the interaction with Sheamus. Especially after the mask came off, they were very, very careful to avoid the face. And look at the outcome tonight. Fruit roll-up. Damian Priest with the fruit roll-up on Sheamus. So, you know, probably not the way we wanted the match to end, but still a really fun match. And Jeff Hardy, like I said earlier, Jeff Hardy was by far not even just the pop coming out, but the chants during the match, you know, let's go Hardy, let's go Hardy. And even when, you know, we see a lot of times you'll get a heel and a baby face, they'll exchange punches in the middle of the ring. And you'll go, boo, yay, boo. And that happened with Damian Priest and Jeff Hardy tonight in the crowd. They weren't going, yay, 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 yay. No, they were booing Damian Priest. But, man, what a fun freaking match. And, you know, look, this helps Damian Priest. Now, if you look at Damian Priest and Sheamus, you know, the win-loss record is very lopsided. But tonight, that crowd was big time for Jeff Hardy. And, yeah, I mean, some people in the chat room are saying the same thing. They were very surprised how lopsided, you know, just how lopsided it was for Jeff Hardy over Damian Priest. I don't think anybody expected that level. That's why I say to myself, thank God Karrion Kross didn't face Jeff Hardy the second time around in Cleveland, Ohio, because that would have been almost nuclear heat. By the way, remember what I said about give Karrion Kross 3 weeks? Well, this week is the third week. So expect something to transition in the next week. Watch. Might get delayed a week, but watch the transition. Remember the transition I told you was going to happen? Watch. Watch. So Damian Priest gets the win. And what happened was Sheamus hit the bro kick on Jeff Hardy. But Damian Priest, immediately with the fruit roll-up on Sheamus, gets the win. Crowd was, you know, into it a little bit. But once Jeff Hardy and Damian Priest showed that sign of respect in the middle of the ring, crowd ate it up. So in the end, the right person won. And all is good in the Priest camp. Absolutely. So excellent match tonight. I tell you, looking at these matches, because we didn't have that many matches tonight, but looking at these matches, this match was pretty freaking fun. I mean, I really can't. It's not much that we could complain about tonight. I mean, if we would have just had a little bit different of an ending on the main event tonight, I think overall people would have been pleasantly surprised about this pay-per-view. So now we go to Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair. 26 seconds. That was how long the last match took. Becky Lynch, a lot more cheers than I think anyone expected. I don't know if you all happened to check out the house show footage that some people filmed that's floating around social media, but there's some pretty cool moments. There was one moment where there was a girl sitting around the entranceway, and she had long hair, not as long as Bianca's, but similar. And Bianca brought Becky Lynch up to this girl and let the girl whip Becky Lynch with her hair. And Becky Lynch sold it like $1 million. Becky Lynch getting into it with fans at ringside. But the thing is that Becky Lynch is so good at what she does that the crowd is going to go along with it. But there's an appreciation, too. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. Like, the crowd knows that she's the heel. And the crowd knows that, you know, when she's disrespecting the crowd, you know, of course, they're expecting boos. But the crowd also appreciates what Becky Lynch is doing right now. And I'll be honest with you. My prediction was for Bianca Belair to win. And she did win. I did not think it was going to be a DQ. There was so much uncertainty about Sasha Banks when she was going to return. There was rumblings she was going to return at the draft. There was also rumblings that she'd be announced on the draft and then return the following week. There was a lot of uncertainty if she was going to appear tonight. So Bianca Belair does not win back the title tonight, which, honestly, for a lot of people on social media, unless Bianca Belair has that championship in her hands, WWE is still not doing right to Bianca Belair. But I got to be totally honest with all of you out there. This is just my opinion. You feel otherwise, comment in the comment section later. I totally respect everybody's views. When Bianca Belair was feuding with Sasha Banks, even right before SummerSlam, you go back to social media especially, and we could only poll what social media was saying, because unfortunately I don't have the phone numbers for millions of wrestling fans, and they don't in millions tune into these shows. So you can only really get a vibe basically of what's being said online. And a lot of people were saying that Bianca Belair's reign since she won at WrestleMania has been very stale. That we even talked about it, you know, just too much of the, you know, that she doesn't let bullies get to her. But when she was feuding with Bayley, you know, all she would talk about is the bullying stuff. And it just, and this, again, this is not Bianca Belair's fault. This is WWE's fault, because this is where they wanted to go with the storyline. But there's no question that Bianca Belair was getting a lot of friction, might be the right way to say it, online. And again, that's not her fault. That's WWE's fault. But I think what is happening right now is you don't want someone to get extra support simply from being screwed. It's like Ruby Soho. I think a lot of people got behind Ruby because they feel she got screwed, that she was mistreated. So people got really behind her. Now, Ruby Soho, and I'm not trying to compare Ruby to Bianca or anything like that, but Ruby Soho, now she's had a couple of matches in AEW, and people are still saying, oh, she's still got rust. Maybe. But if you look at those matches closely, they haven't been all that spectacular. So you know, maybe it's time to have Ruby Soho maybe go up against someone like a Thunder Rosa or maybe a Serena Deeb or maybe someone that's more of a veteran that could lead the story, because that might be what's needed for her. Bianca Belair was getting a lot of friction, and you don't want to get the WWE Universe behind her simply because they feel like she's being screwed. She got screwed out of the championship. You could be upset about that, but to turn around and get behind her simply because she got screwed, you know, you can't relive Montreal 1997 every time somebody gets screwed. I personally feel that what's happening right now is allowing fans to organically get more and more behind Bianca Belair. Because the thing is, you got to understand, Sasha Banks, when she lost to Bianca at WrestleMania, she was off TV. She was off TV for a while. For whatever reason, she was off TV. She was off TV. So for the championship reign that Bianca Belair had for a couple of months after she won the title at Mania, she had to feud with Carmella. She had to mess around with Zelina Vega. She had to go a little bit with Bayley. And that continuation of Sasha Banks help elevating Bianca Belair, that was missing. And then Bianca Belair at SummerSlam is supposed to take on Sasha Banks, because now Sasha Banks returned. Sasha Banks attacked the shit out of her. This was right after those awards. You remember that award that they received for the WrestleMania moment or whatever it was, or the WWE moment of the year. So you had that void of Sasha Banks not helping maintain Bianca Belair, because it goes both ways. Soon as Bianca beat Sasha at Mania, Sasha was gone. Sasha comes back, attacks her a little bit, sets up the SummerSlam match, and guess what? Sasha is gone again. So there's so much that was needed for Bianca Belair. Well, guess what? In my opinion, Becky Lynch is the one now helping. Ooh, not good. Keyboard. Sorry about that. Oh, shit. That was not good. Almost had disaster just now. Show almost ended abruptly. But now Bianca Belair is being elevated with the help of Becky Lynch. Nothing against Zelina Vega. Nothing against Carmella. Bayley was fine, but obviously they were really lacking in the heel department, because that feud with Bayley went on a little bit too long, if you remember it. So, yeah, that almost was an epic heel turn by the keyboard. That was not fun. That scares the shit out of me when I accidentally, because that keyboard will, it's got like settings to turn everything off and I don't lock it. So now that was me. I hit it with my hand. So in the end, Becky Lynch is helping Bianca Belair. Even though Bianca Belair is not the champion right now, Bianca Belair will be champion again sooner than later. And when Bianca Belair regains that championship, Bianca Belair will be in a much better place than where she was a couple of months ago. I know a lot of people don't see it that way, and I'm totally respectful for people that feel that way, but, you know, it's going to help her in the end. Because once you get to a certain level, it's very, very difficult to get put back down. Look at Charlotte. As much as you hate Charlotte, once Charlotte reached a certain level, you know, she loses titles, but she still is at the top of her game. Asuka, yes, she's been off TV and she had a few losses as well. But there's no question that a lot of people wouldn't disagree with me. Asuka's still elite level. Bayley, Sasha Banks. Once they got to that level, they may be in crappy storylines, but they're still looked at the upper tier talent. Becky Lynch is another one. Rhea Ripley is working her way to that. Once Rhea Ripley, she reached that level in NXT. Rhea Ripley even though it seems like it's a long time ago, but Rhea Ripley, before she moved on to Raw, was at the top of NXT. She was untouchable. So once Bianca gets to that level on the main roster, she'll never shoot down. She may end up with some bad storylines, may have some injuries, but still, once you get to that level, it's really, really hard to go back down. That's why what I said before about Liv Morgan, nothing against her. The fans, you know, have that love for her, and they're really behind her. But if WWE doesn't see it, there's only so far you can go, you know. And you could see who's a made person in WWE. And I don't mean homegrown. It's like the mafia. You become a made man. You know, some of these women, once they get to a certain level, they're made. And at any time, boom, they could be right back in the title picture. So Bianca Belair is being helped right now. Now with Sasha Banks back, and you got Becky Lynch on top of it, if Bianca gets her title back, even if Bianca pins Sasha and Becky loses the title, I lost my title. I didn't get pinned. You know, that kind of protects Becky. Bianca gets her revenge on Sasha. That, you know, because they never had the SummerSlam match. Bianca gets her title back, and she ended up overcoming two of the top women in the company. So, we'll see. Yes, Rams fan, you're absolutely right. Promos also. Bianca Belair's promos now against Becky are a hell of a lot better than what they were before. I mean, the WrestleMania match was great. But you remember the back and forth with her and Sasha over Reginald? You let him on. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, it's Sound like two high school girls. So Becky Lynch is challenging Bianca step up her game. And Bianca is going to be much better off for it. You know, you see, it's a bad comparison, but you'll get my point. You see, Adam Cole's going to take on Jungle Boy on Dynamite Wednesday. Now, there's no one person that's going to help get somebody to the next level. But if you look, some of these wrestlers who have faced Jungle Boy, even when Jungle Boy loses, you could feel like, you know, FTR helped a little bit, but you see a little bit working these bigger names. In the end, you benefit from it. And right now, Bianca Belair is benefiting from Becky Lynch. But tonight, Bianca wins, but she doesn't get the title because at the very end of the match, Sasha Banks makes her return. She attacks Bianca for the disqualification, and we see a little bit of a stare down with Becky Lynch and Sasha. It looks like that they're going to be, you know, on the same page until Sasha attacks Becky Lynch as well. And you hear audibly Sasha Banks say, "I'll see you Friday night." So we'll see what's announced. It's logical. It's got to be a three-way for that championship. Who knows? We may get that three-way on Friday. Could very well happen. WWE has been up in their game in the main event department. Some of you could say, oh, that's because of AEW. You know, I also feel it's because to make up a year and a half for COVID and having live fans and giving live fans, you know, top shows. Again, in the end, we all benefit from it. For whatever reason, anybody's doing anything, as long as we're getting good matches and good quality cards, I'm not complaining. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens Friday. I will tell you that my quick observation about social media tonight was not as angry as Bianca not winning the championship. Now, I get it. Losing in 26 seconds, it's very hard to be angrier than that. But tonight, it seemed like, all right, you know, people, they're fine with letting this go a little bit further, now with Sasha Banks back. Now, if Sasha Banks, if they have a three-way and Sasha Banks wins the championship, ooh, I think then people will be like, oh, man, fuck this. Because a lot of people feel WWE needs to make up for what they did to Bianca, and they will. They will. I'm pretty confident about that. But we'll see what happens. Look, somebody brought up Kofi. Even though it wasn't for a title, I always brought up Daniel Bryan against Sheamus at Mania. That match that Daniel Bryan lost in a couple of seconds helped get him to the next level. You know, sometimes when you lose, you win. And sure, you don't want someone elevated simply because of being screwed, but still, it was a turning point. Let's hope this is a turning point for Bianca Belair, but Sasha is back. Sasha is back, and Friday, it's going to be a great show, man. And we have the draft on top of it. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. Okay. I don't know what to say about this. Roman Reigns retaining the Universal title over Finn Balor. We all knew there's no reason to take this championship off of Roman Reigns right now. Some people think that WWE is intentionally having him hold the title so he could overtake CM Punk's title reign. I know it's been overtaken already. I don't think it has anything to do with that, but Roman Reigns has done a kick-ass job as Universal Champion. Somebody asked me on Patreon last week, and somebody asked me on Thursday's Q&A, who do I think is going to be the person to take the title off of Roman Reigns? And I gave two answers. One answer is, I got to wait for the draft to see if there's any names that are going to be moved over that, excite me to the point where I think they could take the title off of Roman Reigns. But my gut feeling tells me that if this match happens at WrestleMania, I think The Rock could end up taking the title off of Roman Reigns. It's just a matter if The Rock is going to hang around for a little while. I don't know. It's just thinking way ahead. But right now, for the present, nothing against Finn Balor. Anybody that follows my shows knows how much I am a fan of Finn Balor's. Jesus Christ. I mean, I got Finn Balor autographed stuff like hanging around everywhere. This is, one of like tons. When early on with Patreon, I can't tell you how many Finn Balor signed NXT titles I gave away. Finn Balor, I absolutely love his ability. He's still at the top of his game. I know a lot of people fantasize him in AEW now, which you have that right, because you want to see matches. But Finn Balor facing Roman Reigns, unfortunately, is what, if there's any kink in Roman Reigns at all, there's any kink, it's what we've been saying for the last year. A lot of his feuds just felt a matter of fact. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Like when he feuded with Jey Uso, we knew that there was no chance Roman Reigns was going to lose in that feud. When he feuded with Kevin Owens, it was a good feud, but in the end, you knew he was going to go out on top. He feuded with Kofi for a little bit. He feuded with Edge. Daniel Bryan was okay, but there was just a lot of interaction with Roman Reigns that just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like something's been lacking. A lot of his feuds, something's been lacking. A lot of the names just feel like they're just thrown in there. And Finn Balor, as much as I love Finn Balor's work, like I just tried to picture one step ahead. Okay, if Finn Balor becomes Universal Champion, now what? Like, who does he feud with next? What happens to Roman Reigns? And I'm looking at that and I'm saying to myself, It just feels just thrown together. It just felt thrown together. So one thing that we've been saying for over a year now is, because Roman Reigns has been so great at what he's been doing, we don't mind the matches. We just want them to be good. So we don't care what the outcome is, because we always knew what the outcome was going to be of these matches. We just hoped that they were good. And most of the time, the matches have been excellent. Tonight, they had a great match. At one point, they brawled into the crowd, and as you could see, Roman Reigns puts the mask on. You know, it's, I know some people would get insulted by it, but look, man, you look at Roman Reigns, even with his family, and he's got older, you don't want to take that chance. I mean, I've had the vaccine 3 times. I got 3 shots, and I still have to be careful, because there's no vaccine in this world that is 100% foolproof. You get a flu shot, you get shots for other things, you get shots when you're kids. None of that is 100%. You're never protected 100%. So Roman Reigns, he still has to be careful. But putting the mask on, I think, was more for a lot of people as taken as an insult. Like, what am I, toxic? What am I going to get you sick? Like, yeah. But no, it does both. It does both. Yeah, I get it, Antonio. If you really want to, you know, split hairs, he could still get it in his eyes. I get it. But, you know, the visual of him putting a mask around people, you know, some of it is for health and some of it also is for storyline. You know, when I said earlier about that indie show I did many years ago, you know, I sprayed right around the crowd area with Lysol. I walked around ringside and I just sprayed above everybody's heads. And then I showed them it was a can of Lysol. And some people wanted to tear my head off. You know, it was in Spanish Harlem. And just look up the ethnicity, the majority in Spanish Harlem. I mean, I could have gone terribly wrong, but thank God everybody was cool after it. But that gesture, some people take it personal. Roman Reigns putting on the mask, some people took it personal. And they brawled. Crowd loved it. Back and forth. Usos try to interfere. At this point, now I'm thinking, okay, is Brock Lesnar going to come out? Is Brock Lesnar, my thought was, maybe Brock Lesnar takes out Roman Reigns, takes out Finn Balor, and then storms off. And then maybe Brock Lesnar, you know, leaves the arena, you know, inside the arena. He walks off to the back, and the match ends, but Roman Reigns squeaks it out. Even if he just puts his arm over Finn Balor. I thought Brock Lesnar was going to take everybody out. We got no appearance from Brock Lesnar whatsoever. I expected, after the match was over, after that god-awful finish, I said, okay, now Brock Lesnar's music is going to hit. Because Roman is walking up the, even my fiance said to me, why is he walking up the rampway so slow? I said, he always walks that slow. But we didn't get the logo, you know, the logo credits, you know, at the very end where they show the logo in the lower right hand right before they go off the air. We didn't see that yet. So I said, okay, maybe Brock Lesnar's music is going to hit now. Get everybody's attention off of Finn Balor as quickly as possible. Brock Lesnar's music doesn't hit. And then we see the logo and it goes off the air. And I'm like, how do you screw that up? How do you screw that up? I mean, I understand WWE is more theatric. It's more presentation. It's more art. It's more visual. It's more, you know, a lot of graphics. It's a lot of sometimes sci-fi. At least we didn't have Extreme Rules, the horror show from last year. At least we didn't have Seth Rollins rip out an eyeball this year. Remember last year? Talking about eyeballs being ripped out of people's heads. But what ends up happening tonight is the Usos try to get involved. They try to interfere. Finn Balor ends up taking out both Usos, puts one of them through the announcer's table, and Roman Reigns immediately spears Finn Balor through the barricades. And the crowd is chanting, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, and it's freaking awesome. And they're both laid out. Now, here's where I'm expecting something to happen. And I honestly thought Brock Lesnar's music was going to hit, because you go from putting one of the Usos through a table to getting speared through the barricades. Then Brock Lesnar's music hits. It's like, bam, 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 bam. Holy shit. Even if Roman Reigns retains, which we knew he was, it would have been like, boom, 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 boom. No. We get New Jack meets The Fiend. The lights go all red, which is Finn Balor's entrance, so that's fine. But the lights suddenly go all red, and his music starts hitting again. And we're seeing, like, smoke around the ringside area, and now people's minds are really racing, and a lot of people, a lot. Some people live right now in the chat said it too. Holy shit, maybe Bray Wyatt's going to return. Holy shit. Could he possibly, and, you know, as people are saying this, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that would be pretty freaking cool. But still, Roman Reigns is going to retain. So if Bray Wyatt would have returned, whether it was Bray or The Fiend, and caused Finn the championship, how many of us remember? We were going to get The Fiend? Oh, no, not The Fiend. We were going to get Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor. The problem is, that graphic that'll never escape my memory. Bray Wyatt looking like Sister Abigail and Finn Balor looking like a pumpkin. You remember that graphic? Oh, God, I want to throw up right now. But if Bray Wyatt would have returned tonight and caused Finn Balor to win, and this leads to a feud between The Fiend and The Demon, I think people would have ate that shit up. But we didn't get that. The building goes red, Finn Balor's music hits, and it's like one of those Undertaker, you know, like when he re-energizes, like he's laid out on the ring, and he'll be just laid out, and it'll be like, the fucking music hits, and it looked like a bad version of Popeye. It seriously, it's like you took a can of spinach and Finn Balor just popped up. And even he wails Roman Reigns with a couple of chair shots. You know, they were okay, the chair shots, nothing spectacular. But Finn Balor's music keeps playing. The lights are all red. Finn Balor just wakes up like he just ate a can of spinach. And he rolls Roman Reigns in the ring. And there's now more smoke. And then you realize that the reason why all this smoke is being put over there is to cover up the fact that somebody is going to have to pull a trigger or do something to release the rope. Because what happens is Finn Balor climbs the rope to do the coup de grace. I think he was going to do the coup de grace, right? And he's standing up there. And he's standing up there. And he's standing up there. And he's not up there that long, but he's up there. And you're just saying, okay, this is taking a little too long. And you're thinking somebody maybe push him over or something like that. And all of a sudden, big wet fart. The top rope breaks. Finn Balor, he goes tumbling down. And I don't even know what to say, man. Finn Balor's... he's holding his leg, and I'm looking at it like, oh, you got a boo-boo. It just like, I was laughing at it. And I'm a big Finn Balor fan. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, it, you know what it looked like? It's like when you're playing a record, and then you take the needle, and you go, he gets speared through the guardrail, and he's laid out. All of a sudden, it goes red, the music hits, we get smoke, and he pops up like Popeye, and he starts wailing Roman Reigns in a sonnet, and he climbs the top rope, and he's standing, and then he goes tumbling down, and the music abruptly stops. The red goes away, and I was like, okay, that's it. Bye-bye, demon. It's seriously, it's like somebody flushed the toilet. He's laid out in the middle of the ring, and I'm saying to him, I say, okay, if this storyline makes sense, turn the fucking music back on. Make it red again. Put the smoke. He fell. He hurt his leg. He got a little boo-boo. He'll get up. He just got speared. Soon as he fell off the thing, it's like, he's laid out in the ring, and he gets up. Roman Reigns spears him. 1, 2, 3. Big, wet fart. I honestly don't know what to say of that. But honestly, that shit was awful. I immediately had flashbacks of Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. It was Hell in a Cell. Well, yeah, I think it was Hell in a Cell. And I remember Mick Foley cutting those promos that it changes lives forever. This is and that and blah, 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 blah. And you'll never be the same. And Brock Lesnar interferes and we get no winner. And I always talked about that time. You look at the ratings before that night and then 5 weeks of ratings afterwards and you could see a whole bunch of people legitimately. I mean, look, you get people all the time. I'm never going to watch WWE again. Yeah, right. Then you won't be able to complain like a little bitch online. See, it's hard to bitch about something when you don't watch it. So all these people are saying, I'll never watch WWE again. Those are some of the most diehard watchers. They have to watch. They have to put something down. They got to criticize it. Imagine you're a little kid. And your mom gives you like, I don't know, Brussels sprouts. But nobody forces you to eat the Brussels sprouts. Your mom says, oh, you don't like it? Give it to daddy. Daddy will eat them. And what do? You go to school the next day. It gave me Brussels sprouts. And then what happens the next day? It gave me Brussels sprouts. What the fuck you keep eating the Brussels sprouts for if you don't like them? Your mother said you don't have to eat them. Give them to the dog. Throw them down the toilet. Give it to your father. Nobody's telling you to eat it. Why do you keep eating it? Because you want to complain to your friends how much they suck. These are grown-ass adults, people, and these are podcasters that do it because that's their livelihood. But you as wrestling fans, you know, you make the determination. Will I continue watching WWE after this? Yeah, absolutely. Am I still a Roman Reigns fan, a Finn Balor fan? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, man, you know, it gets really, really hard to comprehend. And I'm being honest right now. I can't for the life of me picture somebody in the back saying, hey, let's just have the ring collapse for no reason whatsoever. Nobody did it. There was no Oos. There was no Paul. There was no Brock. There was nothing. It happened. I can't picture somebody in creative saying that without laughing. Hey, how are we going to have Finn Balor lose without, you know, hurting his character? We have to have some type of a bullshit finish. Well, what is his finisher? Oh, he climbs the top rope and he stomps his opponent and then he gets his pin. All right, well, we have to climb the top rope, but if we have anybody push him off, then he's got to go after that person that pushes him off. So what if he just fell? Well, if he just falls and looks like a klutz, it's going to hurt Finn Balor's character. But what if we just have like the ring collapse for no particular reason? I can't picture somebody saying, like Buttley. Like I can't just picture somebody in the back saying, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, good. I can't wait to see everybody's faces. Can you imagine the people? I just can't picture somebody with a straight face in the back saying, yeah, man, that's the way to go. Yeah, that protects his character. He won't be hurt. This and that. Blah, 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 blah. What are we going to do? On SmackDown, we're going to see some GTV footage that there's some mystery button in the back? Are we going to have, like, get the fuck out of here, man. That was bad. That was bad. I know Xander, I give you props, Xander. He brings up the table collapsing on Montez Ford. See, the problem is, and I know where you're going with that. Maybe somebody rigged the table to hurt Montez Ford. Maybe somebody rigged the ropes to hurt Finn Balor. The problem is that you can't assume that Montez Ford was going to run across the table. He doesn't do that in every match. You know, and you look at Montez's Ford. Look, if that was staged, Montez Ford wouldn't have looked at it like he would have sold it. He would have fallen down like Bobby Lashley, and he would have limped on his knee, and he would have acted like he hurt himself. But he looked at it like, what the fuck just happened? I know, it was God. It was God that did it. I don't know, man. That was just a real bullshit way to finish this night. And again, we go through all these matches, and up until that last 5 minutes of the pay-per-view, I honestly thought this was a decent pay-per-view. Is it a pay-per-view I'm going to remember a year from now? No, not really at all. I mean, other than maybe Lily getting teared apart, I mean, not much I would remember from this night. But for, you know, having Peacock paying $9.99 commercial free a month and getting this pay-per-view, it's not bad. You know, it got my money's worth. I wouldn't spend $30, $40 for this shit, but for $9.99 and I get to watch other shit, I got my money's worth. The last 5 minutes, though, like I said earlier, all day, you take a shower, you shave, you put your money together, you think about nice things, you put on cologne, you buy flowers, you take the person out to dinner, you have a nice conversation, you lie to them, you tell them sweet nothings that make them giggle and blush, and then you go take a nice drive, you look at the sunset, maybe you go by the beach and listen to the nice water, then you say, hey, you know, I got to stop by my house for a minute, I got to feed my cat that doesn't exist, and I say, hey, you want to come in for a minute while I go take care of the cat? And then you let the person in the house and like, hey, you want something to drink? And it's then, hey, you know, let's watch something on TV. And then you get a little, you know, like together and you start kissing a little bit. And then maybe you get a little foreplay. And then you're like, holy shit, I got this person undressed. And then you start going at it and everything. Like, oh my God, I haven't gotten laid in 20 years. Blah, 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 blah. Big wet fart. That's how this pay-per-view ended. Seriously. Last year was Extreme Rules, the horror show. This year was Extreme Rules, the big wet fart. That's what it is. In fact, when I do the recap, I fix the synopsis and add timestamps like I did yesterday. I added the timestamps, everybody. I'm going to put Extreme Rules, the big wet fart. It's a big wet fart. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view 7. I give it 7. It was better than average because no match sucked tonight. I mean, Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor did not suck overall. The ending sucked. It was a bullshit ending, but they worked their asses off. And, you know, this is WWE creative. It wasn't them just sucking up the room. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it 7. My favorite match of the night, boy, this is a tough one. I gotta look at these again. Let me look at these again. All right. Oh, it'd be nice if I hit the loop, right? There we go. All right, that was good. That was a lot of fun. That was okay. It should have went longer. That was decent, better than I expected. That was very good. That was excellent. And the main event was excellent, with the exception of the end. Wow. Chris says I'm funny. Huh. If I made you laugh a little bit, it's worth it. My favorite match of the night? Boy, I tell you, I can't help but to just really think of Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, and Damian Priest. Because the crowd made that match even more enjoyable. But no, you know what? Man. Becky and Bianca Belair had a great match also. The ending was kind of caca because we got a disqualification, but Sasha Banks is back, which, you know, makes up for that. I tell you, you know what? See, I would have chosen the main event, but that finish is just a wet fart. Seriously. Like, that's why I brought up the whole sex analogy. You have 95% of the night absolutely perfect on a date. and then you go down and you get this big fart in your face. Some people are into that. Some people like Snitsky with feet. Oh, give me a wet fart. That turns me on. That doesn't turn me on. It makes me want to vomit. So I can't give the main event my favorite match of the night because of the outcome, the finish. So I'm going to go with the three-way. I'm going to go with the, you know what? The New Day versus Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos was really good also. Man, they had a fun match, even though, you know, it's really not going to amount to anything. You know what? I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with the six-man. I'm going to go with the six-man. The three-way match was fun also, but, you know, the crowd made it fun. I'm going to go with the six-man tag as my favorite match of the night. My least favorite match of the night. I know this is unfair to say. Could we put Liv Morgan and Carmella in there? Only because... It was a pre-show match, though, so I really don't want to include them on there. Least favorite match of the night, Charlotte and Alexa. Charlotte and Alexa. I could have done without that match. I gave compliments to Alexa. She did much better than I expected her to. But it just felt like a feud that just felt put together that, I don't know, I mean, ripping up the doll and everything obviously is a big turning point in the storyline, but I'm going to have to go with that, Alexa and Charlotte, because it was a match that I didn't think it was needed for the show. That's it. So in the comment section, you know, tell everybody, me included, what you grade this show on a scale of 1 to 10. What was your favorite match in the night? What was your least favorite? I will tell you this. And I'll leave you with this final thought. Putting aside the finish of Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor, this pay-per-view is one of those rare pay-per-views that I honestly could say there was no horrible match at all. Every match was decent. So this was much more difficult for me to choose like most favorite and least favorite match because they were consistent. They didn't make any big time memorable moments out of it, but they didn't stink up the joint either. So having each match delivering in some way is a compliment. Still though, there were too many people that were not on this show, which is why I also give it a 7. There were quite a few names that were not on this show that I think should have been. But let me know what you think. And that's pretty much it. So, guys, gals, it's been fun. On the way out, if you wouldn't mind, smash that like button. And I will be back here tomorrow night with Mish. We'll recap Raw. We'll take live calls. So if you have anything you want to talk about as far as the pay-per-view tonight, you know, you'll have the opportunity to call in tomorrow. And we already did our predictions for the draft. So there's really no reason for us to get into that again. If you haven't checked out that episode, please do. It was a pretty good show. In fact, when I go like this later on the replay, you'll see the link for our predictions for the draft. But I want to thank you all for spending some time with me tonight. Much love as always. So I hope you enjoyed Extreme Rules. You know, let me know what you think. And I will be back tomorrow night after Raw. So be well, everybody. Have a great night. And no Twix. We won't have the Rampage rating until Monday. So much love, everyone. Thank you as always for the support. And have a great rest of your evening or day, depending on where you live. So good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.